It's Saturday, September 22nd, 2018, from Mount Vernon, Virginia. This is Literally This Week. Hello, this is Keith F. Shelvin, publisher of AS21 Media, here to bring you the Larry News for the third full week of September 2018.
Sunday.
Top story from the New York Times, using young adult novels to make sense of hashtag MeToo. As the country continues to respond to the MeToo movement, teachers and librarians are turning to fiction to help teenagers understand emotional trauma and make sense of this cultural reckoning. Camille Garcia, an author and former teacher from Annapolis, Maryland, wrote a novel called Broken Beautiful Hearts, which tells a story about relationship violence that parallels her own experience as a teenager. Ms. Garcia, 46, said that when she was 17, she broke up with her boyfriend over his use of steroids, and in response, he pushed her through a screen door. For 2 years after that, he stalked her, she said. In Ms. Garcia's novel released this year, the 17-year-old protagonist, Peyton Rios, is pushed down the stairs by her ex-boyfriend, but the difference is that the fictional character tells her mother about the abuse. Ms. Garcia said she didn't tell any adults. On visits to schools to discuss the book, Ms. Garcia asked students to raise their hands if they knew someone who had experienced dating violence or had been sexually harassed or assaulted. At most schools, nearly every girl in the audience raised her hand, Ms. Garcia said. Novels can provide a safe place to explore ideas about consent and speaking out after abuse because young readers can inhabit the experience of a fictional character rather than face their own trauma head-on, said Amy Reed, an author from Asheville, North Carolina. Ms. Reed's book, The Nowhere Girls, tells the story of three teenagers avenging a classmate's gang rape. The teenage characters in the book, published last year, have a nuanced understanding of consent and its gray areas. Also in the news on Sunday from Bleeding Cool, Sunrise Comics' 81-year-old owner closes store after almost 40 years. Sunrise Games and Comics opened in El Paso, Texas in 1979. It has been run by the original owner's sister, Cora Garcia, known locally as Miss Cora, but at 81 years old, she's decided enough is enough. From UC Santa Cruz, library digitizes over 6,000 photos from Pearl Jones / Ruth Marion Baruch collection. UC Santa Cruz partners with California Digital Library and Mass Digitization Project to make historical archives available online for the public. From The Guardian Book Clinic, an alternative guide to Irish literature, Ireland has changed more in the last 15 years than the previous 100 combined. Post-marriage equality, post-abortion vote, its literature has evolved too. Fiction writers have captured a new Irish literary soul beyond what Maeve Brennan called the bog and thunder variety of stuff foisted abroad in the name of Ireland. And finally, on Sunday from LitHub, inside Susan Sontag's extensive FBI file. As a prolific social critic covering topics from AIDS to American interventionism, Susan Sontag seemed almost fated to run afoul of the Bureau. Although her association with the New Left of the 1960s first put her on the FBI's radar, it was her writing in opposition to the Vietnam War that earned her her own investigation and the personal attention of no less than the director, J. Edgar Hoover.
Monday.
Top story from the Chicago Tribune, Tronc in early stage discussions about sale to McClatchy newspaper chain. A second firm is in talks to potentially acquire Chicago-based newspaper chain Tronc. California-based newspaper chain McClatchy is in an early stage discussion to buy Tronc, owner of the Chicago Tribune and other major newspapers, a source familiar with the negotiations said Friday. The Donorail Group, a nascent New York-based investment firm headed by former Starboard Value executive Will Wyatt, has been in negotiations to buy Tronc since early August. Sources familiar with negotiations say Donorail has offered between $19 and $20 per share for Tronc, valuing the newspaper company at upwards of $700 million. Tronc, formerly known as Tribune Publishing, also owns the Baltimore Sun, the Hartford Courant, the Orlando Sentinel, South Florida Sun Sentinel, the New York Daily News, the Capital Gazette in Annapolis, Maryland, the Morning Call of Allentown, Pennsylvania, the Daily Press in Newport News, Virginia, and the Virginian Pilot in Norfolk, Virginia. Wyatt, 34, served as a paid consultant in Tronc's $500 million sale of the LA Times and San Diego Union-Tribune to biotech billionaire Patrick Soon-Shiong, which closed in June. Soon-Shiong is Tronc's second-largest shareholder, with a nearly 25% stake. Also in the news on Monday from the bookseller F.T. McKinsey revealed varied shortlist for 30,000-pound business book of the year. Penguin Random House and Penn McMillan dominate the six-strong shortlist for the 30,000-pound Financial Times McKinsey Business Book of the Year Award. The themes of the varied shortlist encompass universal basic income, scandal in Silicon Valley, and wealth inequality in India. From the Des Moines Register, Ankeny's new bookstore features thousands of used books and a smattering of new ones. Ankeny's other bookstore, Plot Twist Bookstore, is across the street from the new Walls of Books, a used book chain based out of Georgia with a location in D.C. plot twist opened about 2 years ago. From the Yale Library, Grammy Museum-funded digitization project brings rare Charles Ives performances to the world. 436 recorded performances of Ives' compositions can now be streamed online by anyone connected to the Yale University network. A subset of the recordings can be streamed beyond the Yale network, anywhere in the world. And finally, on Monday from Publishers Weekly, why are book margins stuck in the 1990s? A bookseller argues that publishers need to commit to better terms for indies. We'll be right back after this message from our sponsor.
This episode is sponsored by...
This and other podcasts of the AS21 Podcast Network are brought to you by Audible. Sign up today at audibletrial.com/AS21 and you get your first month for free, which means you get that first credit for your first audiobook for free. Choose from over 180,000 titles and then you can take your reading with you anywhere. I just finished reading One Last Strike by Tony La Russa, former Major League manager, and quickly dived into The Theory of Everything by Dr. Stephen Hawking, finishing that up in a day. Next up, I'm on a road trip with my kids, so we'll be listening to the complete works of Beatrix Potter as we drive. Thousands of titles to choose from. Who knows what you might find that might catch your interest. And once you download that first audiobook, it is yours for free forever. So once you get that first one, stay with the service or leave it. It is yours. Every audiobook you download from Audible is yours, as long as you have the app installed on your phone or computer. So visit audibletrial.com/AS21 today, sign up for your first month, and get your first audiobook, and put your reading in your ear.
Tuesday.
Top story from The Guardian. Haruki Murakami withdraws from alternative Nobel Prize. Japanese novelist Haruki Murakami has withdrawn from Sweden's alternative to the Nobel Prize for Literature, citing a wish to concentrate on his writing. Established in the wake of the sexual assault scandal that led to the postponement of this year's Literature Prize, the new Academy Prize set out to be a reminder that literature should be associated with democracy, openness, empathy, and respect. Backed by more than 100 Swedish cultural figures, it shortlisted 4 authors for the award, with Murakami up against the British fantasy author Neil Gaiman, Guadeloupean novelist Marisa Conde, and the Vietnam-based Canadian Kim Tai. The intention was that an expert jury would announce their winner in October, but the award organizers have revealed that when the final 4 authors were notified, Murakami asked for his nomination to be withdrawn. The Japanese novelist is frequently seen as a frontrunner for the Nobel itself, which is hoping to unveil 2 winners in 2019 once it has restored what it described as a reduced public confidence following the scandal. The new Academy said in a statement that Murakami had emailed them saying that it was a great honor to be shortlisted, but Murakami then said his preferences is to concentrate on his writing, away from media attention. The new Academy regrets, but respects his decision. Also the news on Tuesday from Publishers Weekly, Target responds to publishers' complaints, but redactions persist. Shortly after Publishers Weekly's report went live, the Target.com had been redacting certain keywords in the product descriptions of a number of books from small university presses. Company spokesperson Jenna Reck assured PW that corrections have been made or are in the process of being made in book descriptions, and provided PW with Target's response to publisher and author complaints. From DigiDay, Amazon's new small business play is panned as pandering. Amazon, which has gotten its share of flack from small businesses, rolled out a new initiative for small businesses called Amazon Storefronts to give some sellers and Amazon a marketing lift by showcasing them in ads and on a dedicated Amazon section. From the bookseller, film option to DeLarge debut bought by Zucker Prodigy. Feature film rights to James DeLarge's debut thriller 55 to be published by Simon & Schuster UK in June 2019 have been optioned by Zucker Productions in partnership with Prodigy Pictures. And finally, on Tuesday from LitHub, don't write a book about cancer and other advice. Shirley Barrett on receiving a cancer diagnosis after writing about it.
Wednesday.
Top story from InfoDocket. Library of Congress launches official Congressional Research Service Reports portal. Long-awaited public access to Congressional Research Service reports are now available online. The new official portal launched today at crsreports.congress.gov. It is important to note that not every CRS report that could be provided is currently available via the new portal, but will continue to be accessible from the sources listed in the article. Daniel Schumann tells InfoDocket CRS is publishing only one type of its non-confidential reports and not all of them as required by law. They're also only publishing reports issued or updated since the law was enacted, not all the non-confidential reports on their website. From an official LC blog post by Librarian of Congress Carla Hayden, moving forward, all new or updated reports will be added to the website as they are made available in Congress. The library is also working to make available the back catalog of previously published reports as expeditiously as possible. Also in the news on Wednesday from the Sun Journal, Rumford Public Library's display of banned books will stay. A display of banned books, the source of much Facebook debate in recent days, remain at the Rumford Public Library in Maine, according to the library's Board of Trustees. From The Guardian, George Orwell archives added to UNESCO Memory of the World Register, UN's cultural agency recognizes the world significance of the Animal Farm author's papers. From Deadline, Pascal Pictures acquires Uzma Jalaluddin novel Aisha at Last. Amy Pascal's Pascal Pictures has acquired Aisha at Last, a Muslim romantic dramedy novel by Uzma Jalaluddin. Eric Feynman and Isabel Siskin will be the execs shepherding it. The novel, which was published in Canada and will debut in the U.S. next year, is a present-day retelling of Pride and Prejudice set in a Muslim community in Toronto. From The Bookseller, Smith, Power, and Barry win Forward Poetry Prizes. Dinesh Smith was announced as the winner of the Forward Poetry Prize for Best Collection on September 18th, with awards also going to Phoebe Power and Liz Berry for Best First Collection and Best Single Poem, respectively. From LitHub, the challenges of creating a cover for a forgotten Martinist classic, Roman Muradov on designing for Noor Lang's People in the Room. And finally, on Wednesday, from Mountville House Books, is young adult literature too dark? Such is the verdict from the Wall Street Journal's op-ed piece in response to the recent summit on the research and teaching of young adult literature held this past June at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Contrary to the summit's praise for novels like How It Went Down, Loser Bracket, and The Hate U Give for their honest discussions of violence and trauma, as journalist Steve Salerno proclaims that these books make the vast majority of students who don't live amid such abusive conditions feel as if they do.
Thursday.
Top story from the New York Times. New York Review of Books editor is out amid uproar over Me Too essay. Ian Baruma, the editor of the New York Review of Books, left his position on Wednesday amid an uproar over the magazine's publication of an essay by a disgraced Canadian radio broadcaster who had been accused of sexually assaulting women. Ian Baruma is no longer the editor of the New York Review of Books. Nicholas During, a publicist for the magazine, wrote in an email, "The essay's author, Jean Gomeshi, who was acquitted of sexual assault charges in 2016, lamented his status as a pariah, constantly competing with a villainous version of myself online. It caused immediate furor, with some criticizing what they saw as a self-pitying tone and soft-peddling of the accusations, which included slapping and choking, and had come from more than 20 women rather than several," as Mr. Gomeshi wrote. Mr. Baruma drew further censure by giving an interview that many interpreted as showing a lack of interest in the accusations against Mr. Gomeshi. Also in the news on Thursday, from The Guardian, Man Booker 2018, Daisy Johnson becomes youngest ever author shortlisted for prize. The 27-year-old British author's debut, Everything Under, is up for a £50,000 award, while Michael Ondaatje and the first nominated graphic novel are knocked out. From The Bookseller, OUP offers free dictionary access to UK state schools. Oxford University Press is offering primary and secondary schools in the UK free access to the online Oxford English Dictionary to mark the dictionary's 90th anniversary. From Boing Boing, Pennsylvania to end prison book donations, forcing inmates onto pricey ebook platform. In a story we've covered in previous weeks, Pennsylvania's Department of Corrections is planning to ban free book donations to inmates by mail, claiming that this is a primary avenue for drugs to enter prisons. But the move coincides with a renewed push to get prisoners buying into a pricey prison ebook system that offers low-end tablets for $150 and ebooks no cheaper than $3 a read. From the Kingston Whig Standard, Alberta book publishers to get $300,000 boost from province. Ricardo Miranda, Alberta Minister of Culture and Tourism, was joined by Alexander Finbow, President of the Book Publishers Association of Alberta, to make the announcement to a crowd of authors and publishers at Hotel Arts in downtown Calgary. Quick update, AS41 is moving to Regina. From Today at Kansas University, Digital Scholarship Rescues Ethnographic Cookbook from Oblivion. Hawks Chip, Grate, and Squeeze, Recipes of the Honduran Bay Islands, a revised and expanded edition of cultural anthropologist Laura Hobson Herlihy's 1997 research, has just been digitally published in KU ScholarWorks, KU's online institutional repository of work by faculty, staff, and students. Anyone with an internet connection may download it free of charge for non-commercial use. And finally on Thursday from LitHub, please stop talking about the rise of African science fiction. Tade Thompson breaks it down. African science fiction has always been here.
This episode is sponsored by...
Join AS21 as we return to Frostburg, Maryland for the Western Maryland Independent Literature Festival on October 5th and 6th at downtown Frostburg, Maryland, as Frostburg State University's Center for Literary Arts put on the 12th Annual Western Maryland Independent Literature Festival. Happening October 5th and 6th with a kickoff Friday night, and as well as kickoff reading at Main Street Books. On Saturday, join us for a full day of panels, roundtables, readings, and a book fair at locations on Main Street and Broadway in Frostburg, Maryland. Registration begins in the Center for Literary Arts at 10:30 a.m. Please note that the book fair will be held in Lyric Theater at 20 East Main Street, and AS21 will be there. All events are free of charge, the public is welcome and encouraged to attend all events. Visit frostburg.edu/CLLA/indie-lit-festival today, as well as events.as21.com for more information.
Friday.
Top story from Publishers Weekly. BNN opens prototype store in Maryland. On Wednesday, Barnes & Noble opened one of its prototype bookstores in Columbia, Maryland. The store, which is the latest in a series of prototype locations, is 17,000 square feet, down from a typical footprint of 26,000 square feet. It will stock 35,000 titles and feature contemporary design touches including warm-hued oak bookshelves and USB and electricity ports at tables in the cafe area. At the center of the store are two large book theaters which offer customers a 360-degree in-the-round browsing experience. Booksellers at the store will be equipped with tablet computers to facilitate immediate customer service. The store will also offer self-service kiosks that will allow customers to search for books. Non-book items for sale include vinyl records and turntables, games, and gift items. In a meeting with Publishers Weekly, representatives from BNN said that company plans to open 5 prototype stores in the fiscal year that ends next April and will settle on a final concept in 12 to 18 months. Also in the news on Friday from the OECD, OECD International Survey of Scientific Authors. The International Survey of Scientific Authors targets authors who have published in scientific peer-reviewed journals. It aims to collect information on their activities from the underpinning research to its ultimate outcomes, covering the review, publication, and dissemination processes. From the bookseller Man Booker Judges, submissions needed more editing. The judges who selected the Man Booker Prize 2018 shortlist yesterday have spoken out about a lack of thorough editing on some of the books submitted. Visit ePress21.com today for competitive editing rates. From Wicked Local Newton, new chapter for Newtonville Books as it turns 20. As staff members prepare to celebrate the shop's 20th anniversary September 29th, the independent bookstore is thriving, offering diverse titles in multiple genres, as well as a varied events calendar and book clubs. From Bustle, sexy Handmaid's Tale costumes just hit the internet, and this is your reminder to please don't. Yandy has issued a statement over Twitter about the sexy Handmaid's Tale costume and pulled it. And finally, on Friday from LitHub, Gerard Conley and S.J. Sindhu on the mainstreaming of queer identity with Whitney Terrell and V.V. Gangansanthan on fiction, nonfiction.
Saturday.
Top story from Quartz. The Oxford English Dictionary is opening its gates to teenage slang via Twitter. The Oxford English Dictionary has been documenting the language for more than a century and is the largest of its kind, yet slang in a social media world always seems one step ahead. As a historical dictionary, the OED is interested in the meanings of words and also the changes in usage over time. To help produce its comprehensive record, OED has launched an appeal to teenagers to tweet or write in about the latest words that they've been using. On its website, the OED explained, young people's language today can be particularly elusive because the terms that are in vogue change so rapidly and newer ephemeral modes of communication, texting, WhatsApp, Snapchat, etc., make it difficult to monitor and record this kind of vocabulary. Through its appeal, which extends to anyone who interacts with or is a young person, the dictionary hopes to get a better sense of the language used by children and teenagers today. Apart from being a clever way to crowdsource linguistic intel, the OED's mass appeal is also a step toward democratizing how we understand language. The OED is a venerable source, and as Coco Khan points out in The Guardian, this outreach tells young people that language is established, bona fide, and must be accepted. Also in the news on Saturday, from Global Voices, arrested for fact-checking, Kazakh court fines Ukrainian journalist after police break up media workshop. A media fact-checking workshop in northwestern Kazakhstan came to an abrupt conclusion on September 15th when police barged in, broke up the event, and arrested one of the workshop leaders, Alexander Gorakovsky. From Vulture, audiobooks are the new ebooks, except they might keep growing. The rise of audiobooks, a small but rapidly growing piece of book publishing, is by now well documented, but rarely is it framed as a text story. It's maybe a little counterintuitive to think of what we once called books on tape so cumbersome that they had to be abridged to remain affordable as a format on the disruptive cutting edge. But this decade's double-digit annual growth, with total sales doubling to $2.5 billion over the past 5 years, has a clear analog in the ebook boom that preceded it, and the same company has driven it, Audible.com owner Amazon. From the CBC, Rebecca Rosenblum, Max Wallace, nominated for $10,000 Vine Award for Canadian Jewish Literature. The Vine Awards celebrate literature by Canadian Jewish writers as well as authors who write about Jewish subjects in four categories: fiction, history, nonfiction, and young adult children's literature. Each comes with a $10,000 Canadian grand prize. From the bookseller, Mukherjee wins Wilbur Smith Adventure Writing Prize. Abir Mukherjee has won the 2018 Wilbur Smith Adventure Writing Prize with his second novel, Unnecessary Evil. From the Nation out of Kenya, Chief Justice Maraga launched his bench book for criminal cases. Chief Justice David Maraga on Friday launched the Criminal Procedure Bench Book that will guide magistrates and judges in handling criminal cases. The book was developed by a technical team chaired by Justice Hannah Okwengu. From the Institute of Museum and Library Sciences, $4.8 million in grants go to Save America's Treasures. The National Park Service, in partnership with the Institute of Museum and Library Services, the National Endowment of Humanities, and the National Endowment for the Arts, today announced $4.8 million in Save America's Treasures grants to help fund 16 projects in 12 states. The funds will support the preservation of nationally significant historic properties and collections throughout the country. From The Guardian, Wizards, Moomins, and Pirates, The Magic and Mystery of Literary Maps, From Moominland to the Marauder's Map, writers Robert McFarlane, Francis Harding, and Harry Potter cartographer Mirafora Mina unfold their favorite maps. And finally, closing out the week, from The Hindu, Tales of People Forgotten by the Development Narrative, writer Rinshin tells stories of people whose voices go unheard. We'll be right back after this message from our sponsor with the bestseller list from Fiona the Computer.
This episode is sponsored by...
This podcast is brought to you by Fall for the Book, the annual literary festival in Northern Virginia, focused at George Mason University campus in Fairfax, as well as other areas around the community. Join us for 4 days of activities, October 10th through 13th, including appearances by Gwendolyn Brooks, Aaliyah Malik, John Lewis, and more. AS21 will be there for the book fair on Saturday, and make sure you take part of the full schedule to participate. That's October 10th through 13th at the George Mason University campus and around Fairfax, Virginia, the Fall for the Book 2018. Visit www.fallforthebook.org for more information or events.as21.com.
Hello, this is Fiona the AOS 21 computer. Here's the New York Times bestseller list. Sales for the week ending the 15th of September. Combined print and ebook fiction number 1, Juror number 3 by James Patterson and Nancy Allen. Hardcover fiction number 1, Juror number 3 by James Patterson and Nancy Allen. Paperback trade fiction number 1, Crazy Rich Asians by Kevin Kwan. Combined print and ebook nonfiction number 1, Fear by Bob Woodward. Hardcover nonfiction number 1, Fear by Bob Woodward. Paperback nonfiction number 1, Sapiens by Yuval Noah Harari, Young Adult Hardcover number 1, The Hate U Give by Angie Thomas, and from Publishers Weekly, Top 10 Overall number 1, Fear by Bob Woodward, Top Hardcover Front List Fiction number 1, Juror number 3 by James Patterson and Nancy Allen, Top Hardcover Front List Nonfiction number 1, Fear by Bob Woodward, Top Trade Paper Front List number 1, The Fallen by David Baldacci, Top Mass Market Front List number 1, The Roman of Ransom by Clive Cussler and Robin Bursell, Top Children's Front List Fiction number 1, Goodnight Goon by Michael Rex, I Sense Much Fear in You. Now back to Keith for the Home Report.
Thank you, Fiona, and now for the Home Report. This week, we gave a first look at the cover art for the fifth and final AS21 annual. The new cover will not feature some bold piece of artwork or unique photograph, but instead the name of every contributor, big and small, to the production of the magazine in any way over the past 5 years. Visit as21.com/annual to have a look at the preliminary design. AS21 merchandise is now available on tpublic.com. The direct-to-garment retailer features designs from several AS21 podcasts and titles. Visit the new store today by clicking the link at as21.com or visit tpublic.com/stores/as21-market. AS21 Audio has renewed its call for listener feedback. You can still fill out surveys for the AS21 podcast, such as the one you're listening to right now. Visit surveys.as21.com and you'll be awarded with 21% off at the AS21 market and enter for a chance to win a $25 Visa gift card. But also take a moment to click over to iTunes, Podomatic, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, or whatever podcast service you're listening to, and leave us a review. Good or bad, these reviews help us reach a wider audience and can also help us as we develop new programming and sponsorship opportunities. Like what we're doing? Leave 5 stars and a short review. Not so much? Leave however many stars you feel are appropriate, but then tell us why in the review. We appreciate any and all feedback on our podcast series. On Sunday, AS20 Audio released the official book trailer for American Presidents at War by Thomas P. Etheridge. Find it now on the AS21 YouTube channel and facebook.com/AS21. Ask AS20 on the 21st was canceled due to competing events. It will return next month on YouTube and Periscope. On Saturday, the second performance of the interlude to Sentimental Me stage play was at 3 p.m. at Rosemont Lutheran Church in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. We thank you for all those that have turned out and look forward to hearing more from AS21 creative Michael B. Judkins as he works to develop this work in the future. Late on Saturday, between the Beltways returned as election season jumps into full gear, join host Deepan Chatterjee and Shreyasi Dev as they dive into the headlines, polling data, and top stories from the central Maryland counties of Montgomery, Howard, and Prince George's. Find Between the Beltways on Podomatic, everywhere else you get your podcasts on audio.as21.com, and make sure you visit the Tee Public store to pick up your Between the Beltways merchandise today. In the week ahead, we'll announce additional details about the upcoming AS21 annual. To find out early, sign up for the weekly email at as21.com or facebook.com/as21. Tuesday night, we'll be hosting a special webcast on Periscope and YouTube for National Voter Registration Day, sharing stories of voting throughout the centuries. Find that on the AS21 YouTube channel and the AS21 Periscope feed. Wednesday, there'll be a special release from our audio staff through ePress21. Check out ePress21.tumblr.com and visit ePress21.com to let us know how we can help you with your audio project. Also on Wednesday, the lovely ladies of Two Girls, One Joint will be back with another conversation that goes there. Find Two Girls, One Joint on Podomatic, everywhere else you get your podcasts, and audio.as21.com. Also, check out the great Two Girls, One Joint t-shirts and other gear on the AS21 Tee Public store. As always, be on the lookout for other AS21 podcasts and video series throughout the week by following us on Twitter, at AS21, or on Facebook, facebook.com/AS21. Remember, you can support this and the other podcasts of the AS21 podcast series on Patreon. Support today starting at just $1 a month, and you'll get access to a creative-only blog with news directly from our creators, special episodes of some of the podcasts you love, and other wonderful special gifts. Go to patreon.com/as21 and become a patron of the arts today. Also, remember, you can sponsor this and the other AS21 podcasts through AdvertiseCast. We have various rates available, ranging from 15 seconds up to a minute, as well as special bonuses such as postings on AS21 Twitter account, and our Facebook pages. Thank you for listening to the Literary This Week podcast. We are now available on Spotify, so welcome to all Spotify subscribers as they listen today. Otherwise, you can find our podcast on Podomatic, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, TuneIn, and our home on the web, audio.as21.com. Copyright 2018, AS21 Media, LLC. All rights reserved. AS21 Media. What do you want your story to be?